Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Mothers Podcast, episode 253. Today we're reading chapter 23 of the novel, I Need Someone to Pray With Me, by Daniel White III, with his wife Marika White. 2 weeks had passed before Aubrey received a phone call from Roger. Goodness, I thought he had gone for good, Aubrey thought as she answered the call. Aubrey, please forgive me for not calling you sooner, but I needed some time to think about us and to get my act together. You're right, you need your space. I miss spending time with you, though. Are you available for dinner on Saturday around 7? Aubrey, if that's Roger, you need to tell him no, Simone said quickly. He's playing a psychological game on you. He'll leave you alone for a while, which he has. Then he'll come back apologizing, which he has. You'll start believing him, which you're doing. You'll start going out with him again, which you're contemplating doing. Then he begins to reel you in slowly, tightening the rope he has around you, one tug at a time, like before. And before you know it, you're back in that cycle again. You have to tell him no, and I mean it. You're right, I'll tell him over dinner, Aubrey replied. No, Aubrey, tell him over the phone, now. Aubrey and Roger had a pleasant dinner on Saturday evening. Aubrey noticed he seemed to show more interest in her plans and future goals. After thinking about it, I wanted to tell you to go ahead and open up your business. It was selfish of me not wanting you to make your own money. It's not the money, Roger. It's something I love to do. Transform something plain into something beautiful. Aubrey smiled when he said, well, I'm a man, so I guess I won't know anything about designing. For once in their conversation, he did not say anything about his hobby of remodeling cars and all the new and improved electronic gadgets he would put into the car to make it more enjoyable to travel in. Aubrey was thankful for that. She was mindful, however, of Simone's words to her, but she was finding it difficult to speak to Roger about it just yet. After dinner, Roger took her for a short walk, after which he bought her some chocolate and flowers. I think I'll wait until he drops me off, she kept telling herself. Aubrey, if you don't mind, I'll have to swing by Billy Jr.'s house to pick up something. He's having a party, but if I don't get it now, I won't be able to get it for a few days. I'm taking a trip down to Florida. Would you want to travel with me down there? Roger asked. Give me time to think about it, Aubrey said, as she thought. Yes, I tell him after he drops me off. Then he'll have time to heal his wounded heart while down in Florida. Come walk inside with me, as this might take a few minutes, Roger said to Aubrey once they got to Billy Jr.'s place. Plus, I don't feel safe leaving you out here by yourself. He left Aubrey by an open window in the front room as he went to search out Billy Jr. Aubrey took a quick look around. Despite the haziness of the room from the cigarette smoke, she noticed some of the party guests were drinking, others were dancing, others were just lounging around. The music was blasting and she had to cover her ears. She thought she recognized two of Jamal's old friends, Corey and CJ, and quickly turned her head lest they noticed her. I don't know why I didn't insist on waiting in the car, she chided herself. She soon became lost in her thoughts. Aubrey? A voice said. Oh no, she thought as she turned to face Kelvin. Hi, Kelvin, what are you doing here? I should ask you, what are you doing here? Kelvin said. Aubrey told him how she happened to be there. I feel so uncomfortable here. I'm ready to go, Kelvin. I don't know what's taking Roger so long. I'm ready for you to go too, Aubrey. You do not belong here. How did you and Roger meet anyway? Kelvin asked. You two seem like an unlikely pair. I'm getting ready to break it off with him, Aubrey told Kelvin after briefly sharing with him how they met. Look, Aubrey, I do not know that much about Roger, but one thing I know is that he is a very unstable person. On top of that, he's doing drugs and drinks heavily at these parties. I bet you he came to pick up some drugs. You're going to mess up again fooling with him. What's going on here? Are you messing with my girl again? Kelvin and Aubrey swung around to see Roger standing with a bottle of water in his hand and Karen standing behind him. No, man, Kelvin replied, taking a couple steps backwards. I was just asking about her and about Simone, my old girlfriend. She answered all my questions, I believe in. Well, take your leave, mister. Kelvin's the name, Kelvin said. Kelvin, I've been looking for you, Karen said, staring Aubrey up and down disdainfully. "Come dance with me," she said, pulling Calvin away. Roger shoved the bottled water into Aubrey's hand. "Here, have this. It's taking me longer to square things away with Billy Jr. Give me a few more minutes. And stay away from him. I don't trust him." "How much longer is a few more minutes?" Aubrey asked. "I'm ready to go home." Roger walked off without answering. She watched him disappear down the hallway. As Aubrey stared out the window, Simone's words floated across her mind. "He's playing a psychological game on you. He'll leave you alone for a while, which he has. Then he'll come apologize, which he has. You'll start believing him, which you're doing. You'll start going out with him again, which you're contemplating doing. Then he begins to reel you in slowly, tightening the rope he has around you. One tug at a time, like before. And before you know it, you're back in that cycle again. You have to tell him no and mean it." She felt nauseous. "No, I can't allow myself to get back into that cycle again. Lord, you have been placing warning signs before me, but I've chosen not to pay them any attention." Aubrey stepped out the front door, intending on calling her mother to come get her. Her cell phone was in Roger's car. Aubrey was about to shut the front door when someone called out to her. She ignored the voice and continued swiftly across the lawn. "Aubrey, it's Calvin, wait up." She temporarily slowed down until he caught up with her. "Where to in such a hurry?" he asked. "I'm calling Mother to come get me." "Don't bother. I'll give you a ride home. You'll get away from here faster. Plus, it will give me an excuse to get away from Karen for a while." "Calvin," a female voice called out into the dark. "Just ignore her," Calvin told Aubrey as they reversed their steps to go to Calvin's car. Karen returned to the house to find Roger looking around. "If you're looking for your girl, she left with my man. But I can show you how to have a better time than she ever could," she said, hanging on to Roger's arm. Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10, verses 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless you until next time.